Pigeon Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Virtual Reality Church.
Welcome to our virtual church.
Zoom church is not church.
Is there some type of way for a virtual congregation?
You're not a congregation if you don't congregate.
We have just finished our virtual church.
You can worship in the comfort of your own home and at your convenience.
When you combine this access with the loss of the local, I become my own confession and I go around the world wide web listening for echoes that say back to me what I've already decided to believe.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We're off.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd, freakishly tall Friel.
DeVille is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Inviting you to send wretched things to idea@wretched.org.
Did you hit the wrong button in there?
What?
Did you hit the wrong button?
What are you talking about?
Can you not hear the music playing?
Oh, no. Is that coming through? I am so sorry. Oh, totally my bad. Here, we're on the air and I'm playing the theme song to the Deer Hunter. Let me turn that off.
There, yeah.
877-282-2822. How providential is that? That I would make such an amateur mistake as pushing a button for a theme song that happens to be the story of your life, apparently. Did you ever see the movie The Deer Hunter?
I did not.
I saw bits of it as a kid. It was scarring. It really was. I would never watch it today. Even if it were rated like PG, it's like, no, it was like, whoa. If that was at all a fair glimpse into what some soldiers endure when they go to war, PTSD, it becomes kind of like, yep, okay, I totally get that. Whoa, the psychological warfare, the moral wounding that can take place. I'm telling you, I can get it just from watching the movie The Deer Hunter. Imagine what it's like in real life. So Deer Hunter, I'm sorry, Jimmy?
Yeah.
Are you ready with the mailbag?
I think so.
All righty.
Are you ready?
I absolutely am.
All right. This
this sorry. I did it again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is from...
Did you file?
Did I file?
Yeah, did you call up one of the guys on the billboards?
Oh, like Morgan and Morgan?
Yeah,
and Morgan. I thought about it, but yeah, I don't think they were going to be able to track the deer down. And even if they did...
You don't sue the deer.
It wouldn't be worth suing.
It's a police report. And then you got to do what a lot of people do because they watch the commercials and see the billboards. Complain about your neck. It's all soft tissue. And just Morgan and Morgan, they got your back. You're going to... You'll be out of here, Jimmy. You'll be done with this shenanigan that we do here. Because they'll get what's coming to you. Morgan and Morgan. Boy, the billboards for that. The one that really gets my goat still are the divorce attorneys. Oh, you're promoting divorce. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's got to be a better way to make a living. 877-282-2337.
This is from Renee. Todd, are children always a gift from God?
Yeah.
Even if they turn out to be a murderer.
Yeah, that's a bummer, but that doesn't mean they're not a gift. They're image bearers. Our value comes from being an image bearer of God. Our value does not come from our performance, because the reality, none of us perform really well. Hopefully, not many of us are actual murderers, but we murder in our heart. There's lusting, there's lying, there's pride, there's vanity, there's racism, there's sexism, and there's blasphemy, there is idolatry. So if we are going to be valued based on our performance, we are all in very big trouble. But human beings are valued because they're valued, because God places his value on them. Think of John F. Kennedy's footstool. Do you know that John F. Kennedy's footstool, it was a pretty ratchety little thing, pretty worn out. So apparently he put his feet up a lot. It sold at one of those Sotheby auctions for like millions of dollars. And it's like, if you were on a vacation someplace, you went into one of those stores where people sell their wares in like booths and what have you. Jimmy, what are those things called? I never thought I'd be quite the type. I love walking through those things, man, to see what people put out for you to buy. Huh. You know, what are those, like an antique or not consignment.
Antique stores?
Yeah. It's just so cool. And now if you stumbled into this thing and it had a price tag of $3.4 million, you'd be like, not a chance. That thing would sit there forever. Why? Because nobody values it. It's only worth the value that somebody places on it. Because that ratchety footstool had the feet of John F. Kennedy on it, it increases the value, but it's only as valuable, as valued as what somebody will pay for it. So what gives human beings their value? It's not, we're ratchety. We're worse than a footstool that was used by JFK. We don't have that intrinsic value unless God places it on us, which is why every single baby that is born, we should celebrate. Should they go off the rails and become a criminal? That's a drag, but that does not detract from their image-bearing status. 877-282-2337.
Or this is from Adrian. Todd, after teaching in a school setting, I will be taking on a full-time pastorate.
Cool.
My wife thinks I should keep my teaching license current just in case. Could this be hedging my bets or doubting that the Lord has called me to this?
What's going on in your heart? That's the question. Could it be? Sure. If your heart is doubting, if your heart is questioning, could it be hedging your bets? Sure. But I rather than addressing the bet hedging, I would bring us to what it means to be called to be a pastor. And it includes the internal and the external call. There needs to be a burning in the bosom that says, I've got to do this or I'm going to die. There's nothing else I can do. That's the internal call. I want to be a shepherd of God's sheep. I love teaching, but wow, I've got to do this. That's the internal call, which should then be affirmed by an external call of those people who know you, who have been doing life in church with you to say, yeah, you're qualified. You meet the standards of 1 Timothy 3. We believe that you are called. We're affirming your internal call externally. Then you should have every confidence that you are on the right path. Having said that, if you're harboring doubts, I would actually work through that. But as far as getting the or continuing to have your license so that if something goes kafritz, I would say that falls into the category of wisdom. Things do go kafritz. You might step into a situation. It's like, whoa, they didn't tell me about what they, huh? I can't, what am I going to do? And you need that. So I would work through the heart issue. Make sure that you are called. And if you are, then the decision about keeping the license, I think it's a preference issue. It's a wisdom issue. And from where I stand, it would be really wise to do what your wife says. 877. It's true.
Well,
that makes her feel better.
Yeah.
Cool.
And that's what I was going to say. I would, even if he's confident in his calling, and absolutely 100% sure about it, she might not be. And just for her comfort and as her husband, it wouldn't be a bad idea to keep your license at least the first time that it comes up.
No, I'm not sure this is a direct line, but I think when we can do things for people where maybe it's like, well, that shouldn't be necessary, but I'm willing to do it because it's going to help you, then be willing to do it. And those opportunities present themselves a lot in marriage. Those things present themselves a lot in church. That people, they just feel comfortable with certain things, and where I maybe have a preference for something different, it's like, you know what, if that makes you feel more confident and comfortable, then I'm all for it. Because we seek to bring about the good of the other as opposed to imposing our preference. So if your wife simply feels better because of it, I don't think you should have any problems keeping your license. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous, the text. Todd, is throwing away leftovers or old food from the refrigerator a sin?
Do they involve collards?
No. I mean,
am I supposed to trust a man's pronunciation of a vegetable when you murder deer?
That's not murder.
Oh,
it's accidental killing.
Oh, sorry, I did it. Sorry, my bad. I'm such an amateur in here.
He committed suicide.
He kind of did, didn't he? I was going to make a joke about some of the medications that you see on TV. They stagger me. They actually say they can cause you to commit suicide. And there they are being advertised on TV. Hello? And then they kind of sneak in that it might cause behavior that isn't like ideal. You mean murderous ideations? And yet the amount of medications that are being prescribed, it's just absolutely staggering. Is it a sin to throw away leftovers? It could be. If you're just being really ungrateful, snooty, those are below me. Ugh, I don't really like eating leftovers. It could be a heart issue. I don't think it has to be. I don't think that every crumb from a loaf of bread needs to be consumed for you to not be a sinner. I think it probably depends on the leftover. How gnarly is it? I mean, how many days are we into this thing anyway? Now, lasagna. My wife's lasagna specifically. It would be a sin to throw any of that away because it just keeps getting better. It's really good when it's hot out of the oven. Day two, it's like, oh, the garlic's starting to come through. Day three, it's like, oh, give me more of this because it's absolutely amazing. So all that to say, if it's lasagna, no. If it's collards, please. I can't encourage you to throw them away fast enough. What do you even do? A collard? Is that like poke salad?
I don't know.
Poke salad, Annie.
We had a
poke salad, Annie. Here they got your granny. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't.
Oh, it's an Elvis song, man. I don't know who originally did it, but it's poke salad, Annie. Some of y'all never been down south too much, so I'm going to tell you a little story so you'll understand what I'm talking about. Down there in the woods and the fields, we got a plant like a turnip green, something that everybody calls it poke salad. Is that what a collard is?
Close, maybe.
Is there anything that can be done to rescue a collard and make it taste delicious? No. The answer is no. Please send your questions, comments, conundrums, snarks. That was rhetorical. 877-282-2337. This is Wretched Radio.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. You remember when you first discovered solid biblical teaching? It was the moment when the door swung open and everything changed in your life. What if we could fling those doors wide open for everyone, everywhere? Later this year, we're unveiling something unprecedented, and that's why we need you now. More than ever before. Through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled through our matching grant. Visit FortisInstitute.org/truth before June 30th, because truth, well, it was never meant to have barriers. FortisInstitute.org/truth. You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect His flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's at FortisInstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at FortisInstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Download it right now where you download your apps, or just go to fortisplus.org, because what feeds your mind shapes your life.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
What do you get when you combine 8 of today's most trusted Christian voices with a commitment to unwavering biblical truth? Well, of course, you get Fortis Institute, your daily source for spiritual strength. We're not offering opinions here. We're providing a fortress of biblical wisdom for these challenging times that we're all living in. The best part? It's all free. Just visit FortisInstitute.org right now and join our community of believers who refuse to be tossed to and fro by the cultural wave. Because in times like these, we need more than just information. We need transformation.
Know your church fathers. Polycarp was a disciple of the Apostle John and the Bishop of Smyrna. He was a staunch defender of orthodoxy, combating the Gnostic heresies. Before his death as a martyr, Polycarp proclaimed, 86 years I have served Christ, and he has done me no evil. How could I curse my king who saved me? This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I wonder what music this button will play.
Some of y'all never been down south too much.
Oh, minus Elvis.
I'll tell you a story so that you'll understand what I'm talking about. Down there we have a plant that grows out in the woods and the fields. And it looks something like a turnip green. And everybody calls it
collards.
And that's poke salad.
Anybody want to explain to me what this song is actually about? This is Wretched Radio. Apparently, there's a difference between poke salad and collards. One of them got your granny. What's the, you were saying the collards and the turnips and the what?
There's collard greens, mustard greens, and turnip greens. There's a bunch of greens out there. Collard greens are mild, slightly bitter.
You're reading this.
I am reading this. Mustard greens are peppery, sharp, and tangy. And turnip greens are somewhere in the middle.
Okie dokie. And none of them are delicious. You can't put enough glop on them to make them taste good.
Yeah, mustard greens.
I'm sorry.
I can eat mustards.
Mustards?
Yeah.
Mustard greens.
Mm-hmm.
Are they yellow?
No.
Are they filled with seeds?
No.
Why are they called mustard greens?
Look, I don't know. It's just, I grew up in the South. I didn't make the rules.
See, in America, we like to put a lot of sauce on things. You got to have more sauce. We're not like the Europeans. They just make something good and you enjoy it for the flavor that it is. In America, you got a ladle. Can you put some gravy on that biscuit with bacon? We got to just cover it with stuff. I can't even imagine there's enough gravy or sauce on the planet to make collards taste good. 877-282-2337.
So this is a text from Laura. It's actually a question for me, but you can chime in. Does Todd know the Mailbag Friday questions beforehand? No. As much as I would like for him to, no. Even when I'd say, hey, Todd, here's a question. Let me ask you about this before I ask it on the air, just in case. Nope. Ask me on the air. Yeah.
877-282-23. I'm not needed here. 877-282-2337.
Here's another question from Anonymous. Did the nicotine gum work for Todd?
I don't know. Maybe a little. But it does, I'm telling you, it does something weird to your mouth. I was asking Rebecca at church. We were talking about the nicotine gum because she just despised it. She said it tasted so terrible. And I asked her, what did it do to her mouth? And she said it would like tingle. It was like the fire swamp. It was like, poof, what would go off over here and then poof over there on the other cheek. And my tongue is now burning. It does something. I don't know what. Did it reignite my taste buds? With Mrs. Friel's lasagna? Yes. Yes, it did. Otherwise, I don't know that I can recommend nicotine gum for salvaging your lost sense of smell and taste. Despite what Dr. Jason Lyle recommended. 877-282-2337.
So this is from Chase. It's a text. Todd, I have a question regarding the fifth commandment. I'm a young man and I find myself in a bizarre situation. My mother and father are divorced after sin entered their marriage through an affair. Long story short, my mother is still seeing the man who destroyed their marriage. And my father is now with that man's ex-wife.
Oh boy.
I come from a family of unbelievers who lack a fear of the Lord, and I presented the true gospel to them, but I've been giving my mom the cold shoulder when she is with that man. How can I still honor and spend time with my mother without making her think I'm indulging in her sin?
I think there's a lot of things that you could do. You pick the order and the importance of each, weigh them carefully, get some wise counsel that's a little bit more specific than what I can offer. And I would encourage you to start by, and I know this is the hard part, and this feels like you're missing the point, skinny boy. Get to, what about these people doing this? I get that, but it always starts with our own hearts. What is my attitude? If you're giving the cold shoulder to mom and the boyfriend, got to work on that. Got to get your heart right. If she's lost, she's simply acting like a pagan. That's what pagans do. That's how they act. You're just privy to it. You're getting an actual glimpse into her heart. And so you shouldn't be shocked by it. You shouldn't be disgusted by it. Can you be hurt by it? Absolutely. You sure can mourn that. But we do have to work on our hearts. Start there. And then I would also encourage you to work on your heart, to cultivate a heart, not just of tolerance, but one of sensitivity, which will then grow into a heart of compassion, which will then grow into a heart of concern as you consider the fate of your mom and her boyfriend that caused this devastation. And the more you ponder their eternity without Jesus Christ, you're going to move from cold to concerned and having compassion. I've got to model Jesus for these people. They've got to understand the gospel of Jesus. They need to be saved, and it'll change the way that you interact with them. Furthermore, I might suggest communication with them. Have you had the sit down with them to say, hey, I want to talk about a relationship because what I want is a good relationship. But simultaneously, I don't want to give you the impression that I'm affirming your decisions because I don't. So here's how I feel about the situation. You know that. I am going to be as loving and respectful as I can possibly be moving forward. And I just want you to know that doesn't mean that I've changed my mind about some of the decisions that you've made. I love you. I want to spend time with you. I want good things for you. Are you willing to move on in that spirit? And then start working on your honor her. Don't diss her. Don't badmouth her around others. Don't think evil of her in your heart. Instead, see her as your mission field. And that'll change everything for you. Now, having said all of that, might I turn the spotlight perhaps on you? This is not to turn the spotlight on you to scold or to chide, just the opposite, actually. I want to encourage you. When you come from a home that has been devastated from sin, especially of this sort, it will goof up a kid. It just will. I know they're resilient. And look, they're putting on such a brave. They're really tough. No, it's painful. It's a serious wound because it is a death of what it should be. And some kids never get over it. And I would simply like to encourage you, young man, don't let this define the rest of your life. Don't let this be the thing that makes you what you don't want to be. You don't want to follow in their footsteps, and you don't have to. You can be different, and you could be the generation that starts leading godly homes. And you can be a man who does better, that doesn't wander and stray, that honors his wife, that raises godly children. You can be the man. So my encouragement to you is don't be defined by this and then play the man. And send stuff to 877-282-2337. If I could, as long as I brought up the subject to play the man. Pretty soon, I think it's in a month, we're going to be sending out information about how you can order free, really lovely, they're really well-designed cards aimed at young men on university campuses or anywhere for that matter, where they can just with their phone click on the QR code and read a gospel-saturated booklet on the subject of pornography titled Play the Man. Be thinking about how you might participate in this. We'd love to give away hundreds of thousands of these because these kids, they're lost. They are just drowning in porn and shame and guilt. And there was just last night reading about now they're seeing the effects of porn. Do you know where it's leading? To pedophilia. And there is an increasing body of evidence. I'll share it someday, but there's an increasing body of evidence that indicates you just keep going down that spiral. And it gets worse and worse, and the desire for dopamine, and it just overrides your common sense and your morality and values, and you go about the business of looking at images that shouldn't even exist in the first place because sin is never satisfied. So we're going to be doing that campaign coming up in July, and as long as we're talking about the ministry, we are still in the middle of our Truth Unhindered campaign because we want to give away these cards. We want to give away every single audio and video resource that we've ever produced. We want to give it away. We're closing the store, however, hoping that you will make up the difference from sales by supporting us in this match gift campaign. We'd be grateful. You can do that at fortisinstitute.org/truth.
All right. This is from Mary and Todd. I hear people say the church is a hospital for sinners. Is this a biblical approach to how we view the church?
Not in its totality, but yes, in part. To give one moniker to an institution that is so vast probably would present an imbalanced understanding of the church. But I think that that's definitely what it's a part of. In fact, our church slogan at Alpharetta Bible Church is "From Brokenness to Wholeness." The reality is we're all broken. Thanks, Adam. Thanks, Eve. Thanks for sin. Thanks for the noetic effect of the fall. We've all got sin problems. And we're all damaged in the process. We're all depraved by our old fleshly nature. And we've got struggles. There's emotional issues, financial issues. There's relational issues. There's devastation and there's trauma and there's hurt. And there's people that just, and there's people who have been abused. Oh, the number of people. And they need healing. And the church is absolutely where that healing must, not optionally, must take place. So is the church a hospital for sinners, among other things? Absolutely. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.